Welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. It's a comedy podcast where three best buds sit around and talk about the supernatural, conspiracy theories, true crime, and more. Pretty much anything weird. Now, we tend to pull no punches, so a mature listening audience is advised. But if you like to have a good time, then crack open a cold one, pull up a chair, and hang out with the boys of the Beer Canspiracy Show.
She could dance, sing, play the piano, and cut a striking figure on horseback. Her name was Marguerite Meller, known to all as Maggie. A high-class courtesan in World War I Paris.
What are we really talking about here? Huh? What's the essence of what we're talking about? I'll spell it out for you if I have to. Prostitution!
Hmm? Hooker! Prostitute! Slut for money!
Prostitution. Hey, we can say it. We're big kids now, right?
When she was 20, 22 years old, she was already extremely socially adept. It was also her beauty and her freshness.
She is like the fine, well-aged prostitute. It takes years. She is cruel, laughs at you when you are naked. But you keep coming back for more and more. Why? Because she is the only prostitute I can afford.
In experience, she was light years ahead.
Her attraction wasn't merely sexual. You'd want to take her out for the evening. You ought to be seen with her. You ought to go to the opera, to the theater, to smart restaurants.
All the nobility and upper middle classes used to go, plus the ladies of the demi-monde, to entertain the guests.
Pimps and whores! Pimps and whores!
And so they set him up with a charming French prostitute.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Hello and welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're your hosts. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sean.
Dirty D's not with us again tonight. He is way too busy doing what his wife tells him to do. But we're going to go ahead and get into the topic. As always, we're going to skip Dirty D's Dirty News. So let's just go ahead and start. So tonight, we're going to have a true crime story.
Fun.
This is the story of Marguerite Alibert.
Is she a ghost? Serial killer ghost?
No, she is a French woman. She started out, so she's stinky. From a sex worker to princess to murderer.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah. So I found this article.
Accomplished.
I found this article on Ranker. This is by Rochelle Sauerbrei. We're just going to be reading from there. I added my own little bit more detail. I razzle-dazzled it. So let's go ahead and get started. So Marguerite Alibert's story is one of gritty survival followed by a lucrative life of sex work.
Oh, yeah.
Alibert was a formidable woman who pulled herself up from a world of poverty to mingle among France's elite, accomplishing her goal of turning affairs into large sums of money in the process. This is pretty much the story of, what's that Julia Roberts movie? Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, walking down the street.
Pretty Woman.
This is the story of Pretty Woman.
We're dudes. Yeah. Watch The Professional.
Never saw it, but I know it's about a
I've heard
nasty
it's
slutty
fine
bitch
for girls.
That got made it big.
Yep.
Marguerite is also commonly remembered as Maggie Meller, a surname she took from the man she claimed was her husband at 17. Meller was one of four different surnames she would use throughout her exotic and exciting life. Marguerite saw love not from a romantic's point of view, but as a way to survive and thrive. She was even one of Prince Edward VIII's mistresses and went on to marry an Egyptian royal, Edward VIII. So
I'm that song,
I've asked you before.
Henry VIII, I am.
No, that's Henry the. No, he's Edward VIII.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I told you to watch the King's Speech.
Oh.
You probably still haven't done that.
No, Forrest Whitaker?
No, that's.
This last.
The King last of King of Scotland, yeah. The King's Speech was.
No, I haven't seen it.
The English king that took over because his brother was banging a nasty German whore.
Oh, yeah.
So this, he'll come into play, his brother. However, that monumental event is where her story takes a murderous turn. In the end, Marguerite went down in infamy as the princess who got away with murder. Seems like the real life story of Pretty Woman, which I've already said. Whore makes it rich. That's pretty much that movie, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep. So, anyway. Marguerite was born on December 9th, 1890, to a working-class French family in Paris. Her father worked as a cab driver. Her mother was a maid. Though later in life, she would say that her father was a law clerk and her mother was a hat maker, just to seem a little bit more posh. Maybe okay. To seem like maybe she came from higher standing parents.
Okay.
So, when her younger brother was 4 years old, he was hit by a lorry or a carriage.
Ow.
Yeah, in the street, and he got dead. He got killed.
Good. I wouldn't want to live after that, I'm pretty sure.
Right. I mean, a four-year-old kid, don't cut my legs off. He probably got cut in half. Sadly, Marguerite's parents blamed her for his death since she was supposed to be minding him at the time.
Wrong kid died.
And they shipped her off to the Sisters of Mary boarding school, and it's a convent. She got a good education and she thrived. At age 15, the nuns placed her in a wealthy family's home where she likely worked as a domestic servant.
Oh.
At 16, she was thrown out for getting pregnant by an unknown man.
Ooh.
She had multiple stories of who the father was, like it was a childhood friend that knocked her up.
It's immaculate conception.
Or an Englishman of a prominent family living in India. Either way, the family she was living with demanded she get married, but it couldn't happen because there was probably no guy. She probably just banged some dude and accidentally got pregnant. So the daughter she eventually bore in 1907 was sent away to live on a farm in central France. As she was turned out into the street and had her daughter sent away, Marguerite turned to sex work to make a living since it was one of the only options available and since she was super hot.
Hot, 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 hot!
Nice.
As far as olden standards go, I guess. She don't look bad. She had seen that there was good money to be made by the upper-class sex workers known as courtesans. A brothel owner named Madame Denard discovered Marguerite and took her under her syphilis-ridden wing. Madame Denard taught Marguerite all her best tricks, like Dirty Sanchez's, Blumpkins, and our old buddy Jared's favorite, munging.
What is that again?
That is when you take your buddies out to... It's a lot. Take your buddies out to a... cemetery, you dig up a body, I think you all come in it, and then somebody jumps on the stomach, and then it comes out the mouth, and then somebody has to eat it, I think. It's not fun.
It doesn't sound like my thing.
That's what I've heard.
I'm glad that has a name to it, though.
But Madame Denard...
This comes into play later?
Not at all. Madame Denard taught her how to be a real lady.
Yes.
Hooker lady.
Yes, I imagined.
Denard described young Marguerite as the mistress of nearly all my best clients, gentlemen of wealth and position in France, England, America, and other countries. It was me that made a sort of lady of her. So she met her first husband at 17, and he was actually already married.
She's a quick learner.
Yeah.
She
took to this like...
hotcakes.
I was going to say duck off of water's back, but... Doug, I don't know. In 1907, Marguerite met a man named Andre Meller. She was 17. He was 40. He was wealthy and owned a stable full of horses, which Marguerite loved. He bought her an apartment so they could conduct their relationship in private. She could scream as loud as she wanted. Nobody would hear her. And she took his last name, calling herself Madame Meller.
Well, that's a good one to take.
She claimed that they were married, but in reality, Meller was still technically married to his first wife. She kept on banging other dudes and in and out of her career, she was banging other dudes as her job and then also just banging other dudes.
For free?
Yeah.
What a whore.
Yeah, she likes sex. Some little chicks just do that. One out of 1 million chicks like to bang.
And we salute.
Yeah. If I was about to bang. We salute you. Which made Andre jealous, and they began to fight a lot. On a vacation in Deauville, they had one of these big fights, and Marguerite is such a bitch that she let all his prize horses loose from the stable. The relationship would end after this in 1913. I mean, don't take the man's livelihood and just let him go free.
Yeah, that's just like...
Me? I would kill her, but this is modern times, so I can't just go around...
Western style.
Yeah.
You just take him to the back... Yeah. Give me another one.
Yeah. On to the next one. But she somehow must have had some of that good because Andre gave her a settlement of 200,000 francs. They're not even married and he gave her a settlement. Just, I guess, to get her away maybe. So she ends up buying a home. She buys horses of her own. She's living the good life. She still worked the streets, but with another brothel owner. She joined the ranks of Madame Sonia du Teval. It's sort of that situation where you find work you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yep.
She loved banging dudes. I say she worked the streets, but she was...
But she stunk.
She was a high-end escort, courtesan, whatever.
Is there a picture of her?
I can find one.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Back then, she was super hot.
I mean...
Well, if you like the bang... She probably does it very well.
She's good looking for back then, I guess.
Yep.
So like I was saying, she did work the streets, but she was a high-end courtesan having meetings with wealthy and powerful men in French society. She was a high-end escort. She's one of those that you pay a shit ton of money for. Because not just because she's hot. She was a nice hang, I guess. Until you got to know her, which we'll talk about that.
Start looking like roast beef.
No, she had a good Arby's. Personality until you marry her. Yeah. With World War I going on, she was a necessary distraction for high-ranking officers. So in 1917, Marguerite was introduced to her next grand love affair, Prince Edward VIII, who we were talking about. He was the heir to the British throne.
Yeah.
He was serving as a captain with British troops in France during World War I and had already lost his virginity to a courtesan borrowed from a friend, and his friends decided that 23-year-old Edward needed to have a more thorough sexual experience, a full education from an experienced woman. Who better than a with nasty hoe?
Yeah.
Since a friend already knew of Marguerite, it was arranged that the two would meet. They hit it off, but due to the war and his leave being up, he rejoined the ranks and left Paris. They did remain close. They exchanged letters throughout the war. Edward used the letters as an outlet to gripe about the war and his family. He really liked to talk shit about his dad. And they may have also contained some not safe for work messages. But he visited Paris again on a family trip. And Edward used the trip to hook up with his long lost hussy, supposedly free of charge. But he gave her jewelry and expensive gifts. After about a year, Edward seemed to lose interest. He's the heir to the throne. He can bang anyone he wants. They were both having affairs with other people. They're not exclusive or anything. He broke it off with her, and Marguerite, she didn't like that. So just like a vindictive hoe, she was sure to tell Edward that I still have all those letters of you talking shit about your father and the country. And you never know. I just might have to show some people those letters. She used the letters as a get-out-of-jail-free card kind of thing, just in case she ever might need them. But Marguerite began to make a living by seducing and courting wealthy men, and it was paying off pretty well. She was receiving many valuable trinkets and gifts along with a settlement from Andre Meller, but she wanted more. She found her first legal husband, Charles Laurent, in 1919 in a hospital while she was having some kind of surgery. I don't know what it was.
Probably an STD.
Most likely. He was an Air Force officer. I'm not sure what he was there for. Probably an STD.
Yep.
But he came from a wealthy business family. Marguerite was in need of a new money supply because she was realizing that, hey, I'm hot as fuck. It's not going to last forever, though. And you can only get the clap so many times. So she wanted to settle down. He knew her past work experience, but he didn't seem to care. They were married on May 1st, 1919, and this vastly increased their social standing. But the marriage got off to a rocky start, like, immediately. See, Laurent was more of the quiet type. He liked the opera, and he liked to go to concerts.
Nerd, you're a fucking nerd.
Nerd,
you're a fucking nerd.
And no one likes you.
But Marguerite was the party girl. She liked to go out, drink, do Molly, hang out at the clubs. That was her thing. So they clashed. After a few months, Laurent was appointed to a diplomatic position in Japan. Well, Marguerite did not want to go, and they decided to separate after only 6 months. Marguerite did achieve her end goal, a large divorce settlement. That money paid for her apartment, as well as a stable of horses, cars, and servants. She may have even gotten her daughter back, but Marguerite wasn't the motherly type, so she took her daughter back to the countryside in her truck. She left the girl on the side of the road, and she took off.
Damn.
Not really. She just took her to a boarding school. A nice boarding school, because she was pretty wealthy by this time.
That's a little nicer.
She had the money from the first guy, and
basically
she got a good sum of money. Yeah.
But a little better.
Yeah. She caught another fly in her Venus fly trap, a.k.a. her pussy, in the form of a rich Chilean businessman named Juan de Astorreca.
Ding-ding-ding-ding. That's the Spanish acoustic guitar.
I'll play some. What was that guy's name that used to play Esteban on the infomercials?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
His guitars were shitty.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah. Good to know.
So, again, he's probably dead by now, Esteban.
Probably asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation. Again, after he had that post-nut clarity, and Marguerite opened her mouth.
What have I done?
Yeah. The relationship didn't last long due to all the fighting. Always starting this fighting. I feel like she thought she was way better than she was. Like, you're a woman of the night. Just shut your mouth. Let's bang, and I'll give you all the money.
Word is getting around, like, everyone that she's met, they're like, man, she sucks. And they're like, who is she? Oh, she's like, oh, it's this person. Man, I bet better vagina's
well,
really
all
good.
The other guys loved her. Because you have her for like a night or a week or something.
But
you
at
don't
the
marry.
Very end.
You never marry the stripper or the hooker. Because then they
these
talk.
These guys paved the way.
Right. But while spending some time away from Juan on a vacation to Cairo, she met a gentleman by the name of Ali Kamel Fahmy Bey.
Oh, shit.
At a rave.
Oh, still going. Oh.
Prince Ali, handsome as hell,
Ali Kamel Fahmy Bey.
Classic.
Who was 10 years younger than her. He's 20 years old. First met Marguerite Laurent in 1921 and was immediately taken by her, even though she was escorting Juan de Astorreca at the time. So she's still banging that other rich guy. Ali was not technically a prince. He was, however, ridiculously wealthy, and he had been given the title of Bey, which is equivalent to Lord in Egypt. We'll call him the Bey from now on.
Sure.
He managed to arrange a meeting for the two of them in 1922 and soon proposed marriage to Marguerite and invited her to come live with him in Cairo. Super hot, super sweaty.
Pyramids, though.
Yeah. I hear the pyramids are like across the street from like McDonald's and shit now.
That's hilarious.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not true, but it might be true. She hesitated because he had had a bad reputation of abusing women and having some unusual sexual preferences.
Gay!
Oh.
But eventually she agreed. What do you think unusual sexual preferences are?
He likes it sandy. He likes to put a little sand in there before he gets in.
Come on, dudes.
In the back. Oh, he likes dudes.
He likes bang dudes.
That was my first thought, but it was too obvious.
He's a bisexual. That's what they say. That's what the rumor is.
He's
got to
be bisexual if he liked her.
Why?
Right?
No. Like, what do you mean?
Goes both ways, right?
I don't understand your logic.
You said he's bisexual?
Possibly.
Ah.
That's what the rumor was. So he's pretty much the exact same as Marguerite in the way he loved to party and like flashy things, and they both loved dudes. It is rumored that he loved the D and that he may have had a relationship with his secretary, Saeed, but he also wished to turn his social appearance a little more wholesome and he wanted to settle down. So she had to convert to Islam for their formal wedding. When she married Bayfami, Marguerite had two clauses drawn up stating that she would be allowed to wear Western clothing and that she would be allowed to divorce him. Like, at the time in Islam, only the men were allowed to divorce the ladies. So in exchange, she would convert to Islam and thus receiving his inheritance. Motherfucker.
What?
Good spider. That came out of nowhere.
But I'm glad it wasn't on my side.
I was like, why are my letters moving? So, just before the wedding, now I'm going to be feeling things and thinking there's fucking spiders on me.
Yep.
Just before the wedding, the divorce clause was thrown out and he added a clause that would allow him to take extra wives and probably dudes too. The marriage between Marguerite and her bae was, unsurprisingly, an unhappy one.
Oh.
A woman as shrewd, independent, and openly sexual as Marguerite was never going to be submissive, obedient, and a proper Islamic wife that Bayfami desired. The couple fought like cats and dogs, occasionally, most often, in public. It was said that Marguerite humiliated Bayfami with her behavior.
Well, yeah.
Tension built over time as Marguerite claimed that Bayfami was abusive to her. Marguerite grew increasingly unhappy with the way Bayfami treated her, especially sexually. There were rumors in Egypt regarding the Bey's alleged homosexuality. I think he was bi.
Yeah, we said that.
Yeah, and Marguerite claimed at one point to have been torn by unnatural intercourse. She also claimed he dislocated her jaw.
Damn.
That's a good punch if you can dislocate a jaw.
Oh, I thought with his penis.
No. His fist.
Ah.
It was thought by those who knew her that she might be ramping up to another big divorce payout as she was making a list of all the abuses that Fami had committed against her. She hired a PI to follow the bae around to try to catch him in a sexual act with a fellow bro. It was a ploy that if she was to get a divorce, the courts would overlook her past as a nasty whore and focus on his unnatural way of life.
Yeah, gay.
Because that's banging gross. Dudes is gross. Unless you're gay.
Sorry.
On July 9th, 1923, the couple attended a showing of The Merry Widow in London. After they returned to their hotel, they had a violent fight, and the bae left the room for a few hours. Around 2 a.m., there were three shots fired. Marguerite had shot Fami execution style with a Browning. I heard a podcast that it was a baby Browning. I guess it was a smaller gun. Baby Browning 32 pistol that she had been keeping under her pillow. I guess they were fighting so much that she kept the gun around just in case. There was a witness. A hotel night porter had been sent to the room to quiet down the couple because they were fighting really loudly and disturbing their neighbors. Nobody wants that when you're paying a shitload of money for a hotel. He was like, you guys better quit it or have to go get the night manager. And they were like, do it, bitch. And he huffed and he puffed and he walked away to go tell dad. As he turned the corner, he heard the bae whistling to Marguerite's dog who got out of the room and he heard three shots. She claimed he had tried to choke the shit out of her and she was able to free herself, run back into the room, grab her gun, and she started blasting. There was not enough time for all this to take place, so her story's not matching up. When found, she broke out into sobs, saying, "What have I done, my dear?" in French. This probably sounds stupid.
Que je fais, ma chère?
But she was still holding onto the gun. The night manager finally came up. He took her inside her room to wait for the police. She did take the time to change her clothes. She applied fresh lipstick. The police took her bloody clothes, two of the bullets from the gun, I assume to match the casings, and they investigated the bloodstained carpet. They had some ricochet marks on the wall, but they let the hotel staff clean up and didn't take any photos of the scene. It was pretty much, there wasn't much of an investigation because you got the killer right there. She confessed, she was crying and stuff. She had the gun, so Marguerite was arrested, and Fami did die of his injuries an hour later at 3:25 that morning. He was shot in the temple and in the neck. With witnesses moments after the shots were fired, it seemed like an open and shut case. She was never interrogated, and she was charged with capital murder. She was able to hire really good lawyers because of her wealth, but they had a job trying to make her look innocent with so much evidence against her. The media went crazy for Marguerite, who they dubbed the princess. Not a princess.
Yes.
They tried to make it out that she took advantage of the boy prince, and when she realized that she was getting old and ugly, that she had killed him out of jealousy. So her lawyers had to make it so she was the victim, because the woman's always the victim. They never do anything wrong.
She's getting choked, but still.
But was she?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We don't know. So they painted a picture of her dead husband that was so vile and racist. She was a beautiful white princess being held in a foreign land with no way of escape. He was an abusive foreign beast with an appetite for perversion. Apparently, the lawyer said that Marguerite had severe hemorrhoids that were caused by the Bey's demand for violent anal sex. She was okay with everybody knowing that she had hemorrhoids, just she wanted the court to look down on the Bey. Yeah, hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids from anal sex. I don't know if that's
putting it in too fast.
I don't know. Her trial was considered the spectacle of the year. During a trial in 1923, crowds lined around the building to watch. People would send servants to save them seats, and some even paid for a place to sit in the courtroom, mostly because of Marguerite's former job as a courtesan and her connection to the British royal family.
Oh, yeah.
Her trial became something of an event, as she captivated her many clients and lovers with her love musk. So, too, did she captivate the court.
She banged her way out of there, out of this situation.
I mean, use what you got, right? Though it was going well for her, she had an ace up her sleeve.
I knew it.
Years before she killed her husband, Marguerite had tried to blackmail Prince Edward by claiming that, remember, she kept all those scandalous letters that he'd sent her. Before the murder trial, she brought the blackmail tactic back into play. According to author Andrew Rose, who wrote a book on the whole affair, "We think there are about 20 letters, which are wildly indiscreet. He said things about the conduct of the war that might have been misinterpreted. He's made rude remarks about his father and also their sexual content in them." He was like,
"Dad,
you like dick?
Gay.
I got one."
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They are not the kind of letters that he would have wanted the world to know about. This is Edward VIII, not the Egyptian
guy. May this male pigeon reach you well.
No, they didn't. They had
war pigeons, right?
Nope.
They wore little helmets?
Nope.
So you could tell which one is which?
No. It was the guys that are on the horse. They ran them real fast.
Pegasuses?
Yeah. Flying Pegasuses that would take letters to people. A lot of people don't know about the Flying Pegasuses, the mail service, but that was a thing.
Yep.
When Marguerite was tried for murder of her husband, nobody realized what was going on behind the scenes of her trial. Had they been revealed, the letter she had been holding onto from Prince Edward would have been incredibly damaging for the English royal family, and they were ready to do anything to keep the story away from the public. There was a deal made with officials in the court, and her past was not allowed to be brought up during her trial. Do not say she's a whore.
That's like her main thing.
Yeah, but you can't do that. So this ensured that Prince Edward was not mentioned at all. So she was good. This girl was good at...
And then... In the courtroom, like, half of the people are itching.
Yeah. Like, oh, Marguerite, yeah, I know her. How do you know her? I've seen her.
Like, a lot of herpes on the mouth.
Seen her. That's how, like, if you bring up, like, if you saw a porn star in public, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And then your girlfriend's like, how do you know her? And you're like, I saw her once.
You know, I don't even know how. I wasn't even looking for dirty stuff, but, like, Jenna Jameson popped up for some reason. And I was like, dang, she still looks great.
I thought she was dying.
I don't know.
She still looks good even though she's dying. I think she was like dying.
I don't know. I'll have to like double check later.
Yeah, I mean, banging dudes is not good for your health. Probably I mean, not. Like get one or two, but not thousands. So the prosecutors tried to bring up her past life as a slut for money, but the judge would not allow it. It would help their case so much telling the jury that she took advantage of a bunch of dudes for money. They put the pussy on a pedestal and she gained from it. Exactly. That's what she named it.
Pussalia.
Yep. She wasn't a pathetic woman being held captive. This bitch was a criminal mastermind. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she does. She knows exactly what she's doing.
This whole time, she's always worked men for gain. And she's good at it. So they did also bring in the base secretary, Saeed, to testify. And I don't know if it's true because I heard it in a podcast that was like, it was a dramatization of what might have happened. But while on the stand, Marguerite's lawyer was like, while on the stand, Saeed, you swore on the Christian Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, correct? And he was like, yeah. The lawyer said, but you're not a Christian. You're a Muslim. You're a Muslim dog.
Case thrown out.
It was like, boom, you're a fucking liar, dude. You just lied on the goddamn Christian, but you're not a Christian. But we'll give you the benefit of the doubt and we'll continue with the questioning. So they brought up the rumors of the Bey being a bisexual and his relationship with Saeed and how he was the cause for a lot of the Bey and Marguerite's fighting because the Bey would spend a lot of personal time with Saeed while the two were fighting. He'd fight with his wife and then go hang out with his bro. And then if they bang, they banged. I mean, it might have happened. We don't know. This is rumors.
Yes.
We don't really know if he was
banging. I hope at least he brought over a GameCube.
I mean, hopefully. And pizza.
Yep.
That'd be a fun night.
Except for one of the parts. Like the other stuff sounds cool.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're gay, it's probably
that's a fucking you, I guess.
Great time.
I guess so.
She took the stand. And the prosecution learned from their lesson and had her swear on the Quran because, remember, she's
Muslim now.
She converted to Islam.
Islam.
She just spouted off like, oh, he fought so much. He was so jealous of me all the time. He wanted me to be a lonely Muslim wife. And the hemorrhoids. Oh, my God. The hemorrhoids from all the butt stuff. So, like, she's getting everybody to feel sorry for her. Exhausting. Goddamn hemorrhoids. She said the big fight was because she wanted to go to Paris to fix her butt stuff. And the Bey. It's a thing. It came up in fucking court.
Are you being serious?
I swear to God.
I thought you were making a joke.
No, this came up in court. This is what she said. They had the big fight because she wanted to go to Paris to fix her butt.
Ah.
Because I guess her hemorrhoids were bleeding and stuff from all the butt sex.
Oh.
This is not a joke.
Rubbing together and stuff.
I don't know, dude. I've never had hemorrhoids. So. He tried to stop her from leaving, and then she's
trying to.
But
you don't understand.
It hurts. Well, she was like, "I'm going to Paris. Give me some spending money while I'm there." And he's like, "I'll give it to you if you earn it." Demanding more anal sex.
Oh,
she said no.
That's a dick.
Kind of. If it's true, I don't know.
If it's true.
If it's true, that dude's a fucking... Like...
If it's true.
I could understand you wanting stuff from your wife, but if she's like, bro, give me a fucking break.
I need a wheelchair. I need a wheelchair.
And he's like, no. So they scuffle. Blam, blam, blam.
Her hemorrhoids are just gushing. Bleeding
fucking everywhere.
She's got a heavy bleed. Is it her vagina? No, it's the other side.
No, she's had a hysterectomy. She doesn't even bleed anymore.
She's menstruating through her butt.
She bleeds. She bleeds. You can find her wherever she goes because there's a fucking trail.
Gross.
She said she thought the gun wasn't loaded and she just wanted to scare him, but she shot him fucking 3 times. So, I mean, she knew what she was doing. Anyway, she was not convicted. She was set free to spread her diseases once more. After the death of her husband and her non-conviction for murder, Marguerite returned to Paris to live out the rest of her life. She played small parts in movies. She continued to charm wealthy men, bang them, get all their money, until she eventually backed away from the public spotlight. She died at the age of 80 on January 2nd, 1971.
Wow.
Still carrying her husband's title. She had succeeded in making affairs into a business after she died. Her grandson found her lavish life had been funded by settlements from 5 different dudes. This bitch knew what she had between her legs. She used it and she profited off of it. I say more power to her. She did good. Use your strengths. And she did.
Yes, she did.
But she was fucking... Other than that,
they knew that what they were getting into.
Right, yeah. I mean, come on, man. After the
second one... For sure.
Yeah, word gets around, like, man, I banged her. She took all my money. And
but she was a whore in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I think there are both parties were at fault here a lot of the times. It must have been good.
She's a nice looking girl, but not that. I would never pay. Like, if I heard this chick.
Was Marilyn Monroe?
Well, the Kennedys got rid of her. They knew how to handle bitches. Kill them. Don't let them bleed all over the floor from there. I feel bad for her for the hemorrhoids, but she lived a good life. I mean, she lived to 80. She had a lot of money till then, so.
Her hemorrhoid surgery is just a road cone.
It sucks, but it's a funny story.
It was good. It was very interesting. It was funny.
Women, if you are prostitutes, know your worth, get your money, get what's yours. Yep. That's all you can say. Some men are just stupid. If you get the wealthy ones, you could live a very fucking good life. I mean, she was in movies and stuff.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she
was. Oh, I didn't know she was on movies.
I don't know what, but she was in some stuff. She's probably like a background actor or something. They were like, hey, we need a background actor to spread their butthole.
And she was take like a nasty punch off the second floor. Whatever it takes, that's me. That's my motto.
Yeah, whatever. All right, guys. Hope you liked this episode of the Bear Conspiracy Show. We'll be back next week with another episode. Remember to like us and share us on Facebook and Instagram. Whatever topics you want to hear, send it to us at BearConspiracyShow@gmail.com, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, wherever. And like I said, we'll be back next week. See you then. Hope your hemorrhoids are okay.
Yep, keep them tight.
Keep them tight. Get them tight. Get them right.
Got any orange Capri Sun?
I do not.
Dang.